welcome back to another Batman News Weekly. This is episode 221 in year 5, and it is another solo podcast. For those of you that might be new or have not catched the last few episodes, Clay is going to be taking a break from the podcast until he gets everything situated with his current job, or not job, just life in general, because we could be recording these podcasts, but it's just really weird right now. I'm extremely busy. He cannot record at the normal hours that we used to, so it's just easier for me to record the podcast. And once he's situated with, you know, his whole job and life and stuff, and we can actually sit down and plan a certain time that works out, then he will be back on the podcast. But I believe he is recording the podcast on his actual, the Star Wars podcast. If you guys want to go check him out on the Star Wars podcast, if you know about that, I highly suggest you go check that out. Anyways, we do have stuff to talk about on this podcast. I will say that I am recording this Wednesday night at like 12:14 a.m. So if I sound a little tired, I did drink a little coffee, I apologize, but I have some things to do on our normal recording day. And yeah, life is just super busy. By the way, I don't know what I'm going to be using for footage right now. It is very possible that I just show the GTA trailer over and over, because did y'all see that? The GTA trailer for GTA 6 looked fire. So if you see that it is just that trailer over and over and over for this podcast, don't blame me. You have some cool stuff to look at. I don't think it would be, I think it just looks great. But, you know, I don't really know what I'm going to use yet, but it is very possible because I don't have any footage at the moment. Anyways, we do have a few things to talk about. We do have the notes that Clay has left. We have Suicide Squad, the anime trailer, is the first thing we have on the topics, and oh my god, did y'all see this? I don't know, because I know some people are not into anime. We've talked about this on the podcast before, but there is a very popular, anime studio out of Japan that's actually associated with WB, because we found out that there is like a WB Japan, which is just their Japan sector or their studio. And they're teaming up with an anime studio to make an anime. And it is a Suicide Squad isekai. And it looked pretty awesome. It did show some other characters. I'm running this off the top of my head. I believe it was Deadshot, King Shark. There was somebody in a suit that kind of looked like Michael Jackson. I don't know who that was. Obviously, the Joker was there. I think they showed some Amanda Waller. And there's definitely somebody else, Clayface maybe? I forget. But yeah, there was a lot going on in the trailer. It looks awesome. And I'm curious on one, how WB is going to promote it. I do think people are going to like it. I mean, anime is huge right now. I think this is very smart of WB to, get into that market. Let's see. If this thing pops off, I can see them making more animations like this. Maybe they'll just give a studio to be like, here's Batman, do what you want, make your own thing, and let us know what you're gonna do. So I'd be very curious to see where that goes, because anime is very, like, if you go watch like My Hero Academia or any other hero where the protagonist doesn't kill, I mean, you can just insert Batman there and just put Batman into crazy situations. So I think it would be very interesting to see what would come from this Suicide Squad anime. But if you guys have not seen the trailer, I highly suggest you go check it out, because I think that would be really awesome. Or I think it's going to be really awesome. Maybe you'll like it. Let me know your thoughts in the comment sections down below. Or if you're on YouTube. Also, if you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, because we are still trying to get to 500 subscribers. But yeah, I don't know. It looked freaking awesome. Again, I wish Clay was here so we could bounce ideas off of each other on what we think is going to happen. But yeah, I don't know. There's not really much else I could say about it. It was pretty cool. Honestly, everything that we have to talk about today is kind of trailer centric, because the next topic we have is Crisis on Infinite Earths trailer. According to this, what Clay wrote here is that it is ending another universe. So if you guys do not know, the DC animation universe has been going on for a really long time. Now, I'm really confused by this Unless we had two separate animation universes happening at the same time, which doesn't surprise me because we have had, you know, the multiverse and all that jazz. But I could have sworn that, was it like Justice League War World or Justice League War or War Games? That's actually WWE. But yeah, something with war in it. I could have sworn that was the end of a universe, unless there's been multiple going on at the same time. Now, I do know recently, I believe there was like I don't want to say it was old-timey, but it looked like Golden Age Wonder Woman. Didn't she get a, like, animation recently? And I don't know if that was a movie or not. I don't know if that is this universe that is the Infinite Crisis universe that this trailer is coming out. But yeah, essentially, the story of Infinite Crisis is going to be put into an animation, and apparently it is going to be the end of the universe. I looked this up, and I just saw the trailer, but I didn't really see, you know, any indications of this being the end of the universe. But it makes sense, so that's kind of why I'm just kind of running with it, because James Gunn has said that animations, movies, you know, we'll get into the video game discussion in a little bit. But basically, everything going forward with DC is supposed to be tied to the new universe. Specifically, though, animation is definitely going to be tied to the new universe. So it makes sense that DC is going to kill all the other animations. Which, at the same time, though, Gunn has already confirmed Elseworlds, because obviously Matt Reeves is going to be doing his own thing, so they had to do something. And so with Elseworlds, you could have easily made more animations and just been like, they're Elseworlds, and just put the Elseworld emblem right before it, which I think that's what they're going to do, right? They're going to want to give other creators like the opportunity to make stories and animation that don't fit in Gunn's universe. So I do highly expect that to happen. But yeah, I don't know. I will be 100% honest with you. I don't keep up with the DC animation side as much as I would like to, because I'm watching a whole bunch of other things. I have started doing this thing, or I should say I've been doing it for a while, where I bought a desk treadmill. It's one of those treadmills that doesn't go super fast. It goes up to like level 4. It's a good like brisk walk, you know, pretty fast-paced walk, but it's not like I could run on it if I wanted to. And what I do is I watch like an anime. I watch an episode or two of anime while I'm walking in the mornings, and that's kind of like part of my daily routine since I don't do a lot of walking. There's not really I live in a driving city. It's not a very walkable. So I want to get my steps in, and you know, that's kind of what I do. And since, you know, I usually just go to one website for Crunchyroll, which has all the anime on it, and I just never really think about going to, you know, HBO Max to watch some animations, which, yeah, I don't know. Max just seems kind of not my streaming service of choice, to be honest. I get it for free, luckily. And, yeah, I don't know. I did see, though, speaking of Max, a side note on this, because it's not really much to talk about, but it did come out. Sorry, I got the burps. They dropped a new trailer for the Penguin series. So, well, I should say a teaser, but I'm assuming that there's going to be a bigger trailer going forward. Kind of the same stuff that we kind of saw in the featurette, or kind of the same vibe, I should say. I can't confirm that if it's the exact same footage. But, you know, they have been filming that again, so they probably want to get people buzzing for that. I would assume that thing's going to drop pretty quickly sometime in 2024. Because 2025 is supposed to have the Batman 2, right? Unless there's going to be some kind of delay, we don't know yet. Because the writer's strike did kind of push a lot of things, but we're assuming that movie is going to stay on track. So Max just signed a deal with A24. So A24 is really interesting because they're starting to get like horror licenses, like Jason, and I think they got Halloween, and they're starting to get all of these old school slasher film licenses, and they're going to try to make really popular films out of them, or they're just trying to get IPs so they can try to have blockbuster movies that will hopefully finance their really good movies that they've been doing. But also, this deal with Max could be a way that they can get money to make those films that everybody loves, because A24 has been a studio that has been making really good films that are not like superheroes or not like, you know, Fast and the Furious or whatever. They've been making just really good original ideas. And, you know, I'm excited that Max was like, yeah, let's make a deal. And so every A24 film will now be on HBO Max going forward once they're released out of the theater. So I think that's kind of cool. Gives you a reason to like A24, or a reason to like HBO Max or want to subscribe to Max, because they're going to have some really good films on there. And I don't know when that's going to start happening. I don't know if there was a release date for that. But there's a lot of films that I want to watch that are A24. So I'm excited for that. And I wonder if this will open up a partnership with maybe some A24 directors doing some DC stuff. That would be kind of cool. Because if you haven't seen, oh my God, what is that film that almost won an Oscar? I don't think it won an Oscar. Everywhere, All Over the Place, All at Once, or something like that. I forget the title. I haven't seen it yet, but you guys probably know what I'm talking about. I heard that film was batshit crazy and awesome at the same time. So bring some of that to DC, right? I think that would be kind of cool. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see what's going to be happening with Max, what they're going to be doing. I am surprised we have not heard more about shows like Paradise Lost or even the Green Lantern show, stuff like that. Maybe we're going to have a big blitz of information once 2024 starts. But I thought, you know, once the writer's strike was going to happen, we're starting to get a lot of trailers and releases for series and stuff like that. But for the most part, I have not I've not seen anything when it comes to, you know, DC stuff that I'm like super pumped for right now. But anyways, talking about the DCEU or continuing the conversation with the DCEU and its connectivity, James Gunn has confirmed that not every video game is going to be connected. So this is, you know, we've talked about it on the podcast a few times. James Gunn came out and he did that big video that was talking about how everything was going to be connected or whatever. And or maybe he did that in tweets, because maybe he didn't say everything was going to be connected in that video. It's been a while since I watched it, but, you know, he did say, you know, those first four movies were going to, you know, start off the universe and yada yada, which I think he's kind of backtracked on. And when it comes to the games now, at one point he said that, you know, animation, movies, and video games were all going to be connected to the DC Universe. Somebody on Threads, a site that I am very shocked that people still use, commented and said, James Gunn, is it a requirement for all WB Game Studio titles they're developing, whatever... Okay, oh, hold on, this is... it. I just got a brain fart reading this. Is it a requirement for all WB Game Studios titles... There's no commas in the sentence. Titles they're developing... whatever next to be set in the same DC film universe from now on. Okay, that, well, oh my God, my brain exploded. Basically, is every studio that's making a DC game, does it have to be set in the DC universe? And James Gunn just simply said no. So, which makes sense, and this is something we did talk about earlier when we first heard this news, because a lot of people were worried, like, oh my God, are we going to get games that are just going to get farted out because they have to fit in the universe? Like, games take a really long time to make, a la GTA, 10 years, you know what I mean? So, like, are we going to get rushed games? It's going to make them worse. Are we going to get a bunch of Gotham Knights types games now to fit in the universe? And I think James Gunn probably understands that games cannot be made that fast. And so he also probably knows that some are already in development and he can't fit them into the universe. So he's just like, nah, fuck it. I'm just going to say no. And maybe we'll probably get like a couple games over the span of time. Because you got to remember, it takes what, like 4 to 5 years to probably make a really good game. So, I mean, who's going to do that? Like, you know, I just don't see what James Gunn can do. If I was James Gunn, though, and I was doing a game, I would make it lesser-known characters, which is very big on James Gunn. But, dude, do, like, a Wildstorm game. Like, genuinely make a really good game with Wildstorm or just some other, like, B, C-list group. And just let people, but I'm talking about make like a good game, Not just like a shitty gut, like beat 'em up game. Like, we don't need that. I'm talking about like good story, good action, and just throw it out there. Or you know what you can do is bring back Telltale. Like, dude, anybody that has been watching me for a really long time, you guys knew. You just know how it went when I was playing Telltale and we were like being Bruce Wayne. We were hooking up with Catwoman and everything and making decisions. Like, it was fantastic. Make some of those games. Team up with Skybound, because if I'm not mistaken, Skybound bought Telltale, or at least was going to help Telltale finish the Walking Dead games that were out there. I think you make some games like that in the DC universe. Granted, those probably still take a good amount of time to make, but I don't think they're as intensive as like a fucking Arkham Knight or anything like that, because they're basically story-based games and you can have the decisions made. Now, the only thing that I think would suck is would you be able to have the freedom to make your own choices and it matters. I think what they should do to get around that, because Telltale, the popularity of those games was you made a choice, and every choice you made, there was consequences. And so if your consequences don't matter in those games, I think people would end up hating them. But what you could do is allow people to play the game they want and then offer a DCU version. Like, this is how it's going to play out in the DCEU, like the James Gunn route or something like that, right? And that way you can actually see what they're going to do in the series, or the way it's going to pan out and how those decisions will matter. But you can still play the game you want. I think that would be kind of cool. That way, you know, you get some enjoyment out of it and you can see alternate timelines, essentially. So, I don't know. I think that would be kind of cool. But yeah, according to James Gunn, there is not going to be requirements for every movie or every video game to be in the DCU. Okay, I was just checking if there was any last minute news. You know, it's gonna suck, and I might have the ability to do this tomorrow. If I wake up and there's something crazy that dropped, I will just record that and add that to the podcast. I don't expect that to happen, but yeah, I just looked right now. It doesn't look like we have anything else to talk about. So we're going to move on to viewer questions, and we actually have one in the Discord, and this comes from Arwitz, who says, who would win? 1, Omni-Man versus Wonder Woman. 2, Batman and Nightwing versus Captain America and Bucky. 3, Killer Croc versus Rhino. Okay. Well, I think I'm going to go Croc versus Rhino, or over Rhino, I should say, just because, like, I mean, there's been so many different iterations of Croc. Again, I guess if you were to pick one of the lamer ones, Rhino could probably beat him. But I think that some of the more OP versions of Croc, I think, just destroy Rhino. I always try to put a disclaimer here, especially when Clay is not around. I don't know much about Marvel. I used to read Spider-Man and stuff back in the day, but I have not read the last like 5-6 years of Marvel, so I don't know what's changed in the last few years. I mean, even in the last decade, I probably don't know a lot of what's going on with Spider-Man. So Rhino could be super OP for all I know, but with the current Croc and the Rhino that I know from just video games or the comics I have read, I would go Croc. Now, when it comes to Batman and Nightwing, yo, versus Captain America and Bucky. So here's the thing. I've always said Batman beats Captain America. So, like, I think he goes over there. Nightwing, I think, Nightwing, you know, is on par with Batman. So I think he would beat Captain America as well. And, like, I don't know, man. Are we saying, I mean, I guess if you watch Winter Soldier, you would probably say Bucky is on par with Captain America. But I would think Captain America is better than Bucky. So I think I'm probably gonna go with Batman and Nightwing there. Now, Omni-Man versus Wonder Woman. So essentially Superman versus Wonder Woman here. I don't know, man. I don't know the extent of Omni-Man's powers. I have seen Wonder Woman go toe-to-toe with Superman, but I think Superman is just slightly just better. And so I think Superman wins that. And if I'm just, if we are saying that Omni-Man is an equivalent to Superman, which I don't think he is, obviously he is an offshoot, or he's like a, you know, what do they call it? Duplicate or a copy of Superman. I just think, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know enough about Omni-Man to say that, but if I'm just making the Superman comparison, maybe Omni-Man goes over Wonder Woman, but I'm not confident in that. I'm not confident in that. I've seen Wonder Woman beat a lot of ass, so it could be possible that she beats Omni-Man. Here's the one thing, man. Whew, I will say, just a little tangent here. I did see something today that did kind of annoy me, and this happens a lot. I mean, obviously, it's Twitter, right? I shouldn't pay any attention to anything on Twitter. But this happens with these new shows that are coming out that are, like, the more violent and whatever, that are, like, everybody thinks Homelander, which is from The Boys, and Omni-Man, which is from Invincible, just, like, crush every DC and Marvel character. And I think it is the dumbest shit. Because it's like, bro, y'all are talking about one series versus like 80 years of content for some of these characters. Like, you don't know the ridiculous shit that some of these characters have went through. And you're over here saying like, oh, dude, they fucking solo them, dude. Freaking Homelander solos the Justice League, bro. And yeah, I just don't believe that. Like, it's just insane. For people to think that Homelander can beat Superman is insane. Obviously, if you've watched the show, I haven't read the comic, so I don't know what differs, but just from the show, and spoilers if you haven't seen it, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Homelander is made. Like, he is made in a lab, so Superman is not. I'm gonna go with the person that is and not made in a lab, because I feel like you have weaknesses. Homelander even talked about he can't save a plane or whatever. Granted, they're using, like, actual science and bullshit, which doesn't make sense, whatever. We're not gonna get into science with comics, you know? It gets a little messy. But today, I did see somebody say this. So there was a post that said, if the Joker was in the Marvel Universe, which superhero would be obsessed with him? And then somebody, which ironically has an Invincible icon, said, people say Spidey, but nah. Joker would find him unbearable. He constantly would quip back and steal his spotlight, which I think is a fair argument. I actually think that Joker would probably be annoyed by Spider-Man. So I think that is a very good assessment. Then they say, it'll be more Moon Knight or Wolverine, but they'd kill him, LOL. And this gets really annoying to me because... And it's always when it's like Marvel, like, what if Batman went to Marvel? What if Joker went to Marvel? Everybody thinks like the DC characters are soft for some reason. And I hate when, like, just because Batman doesn't kill Joker, people think Joker just is kind of like weak. And I'm like, you have not read fucking Joker stories. If you think Joker would just go to Marvel and instantly get killed, like, it makes no sense. Because, I mean, this guy has outsmarted Lex Luthor, who has went toe-to-toe with Superman. And, like, I find it crazy. I mean, he's one up to, like, a lot of the Justice League before. I think people do not understand how great Joker is as a villain, and he's not gonna just die to Wolverine or Moon Knight. I mean, according to the show that I've seen, or clips of the show, Moon Knight can't even land a kick properly with the way they did his special effects. So, yeah, I don't... And Moon Knight is just a freaking wish version of Batman. Like, come on, let's be real. So, granted, I don't know much about Moon Knight, but let's be real. Let's be real. A lot of Marvel's characters are just offshoots of Batman. They all want to be Batman, but they ain't Batman. So, yeah. I hate when people do that. You know, we have those conversations here, but as I just stated a little while ago, if I don't know enough about a character, I can only talk about what I know of the character. I'm not going to be like, yo, that character just fucking, you know, no chance. But for the most part, Yeah, I've probably done it before, but in majority of the time, I'm like, I don't really have a real answer for you because I don't know much about that character. But yeah, when I see that, I'm just like, shut up. But anyways, moving on to the other questions from YouTube, we got Moncray, who says, what other DC hero could be a tentpole character like Batman, Superman, Harley Quinn, etc., if DC really tried to make them mainstream? I think easily Plastic Man or Mr. Miracle could get games, shows, and movies made of him. Made of them, sorry. I mean, I'm hoping that they're going to try to do that with Blue Beetle. To be honest, Blue Beetle can be your Spider-Man. Like, it is literally right there, you know what I mean? But if I'm not picking, like, Blue Beetle, I do think Plastic Man, I think Plastic Man could be very well liked with audiences if we get the very charismatic, funny Plastic Man. Especially, he's going to be, like, because Plastic Man is, you know, he's not like Mr. Fantastic who just stretches and does a bunch of stuff. Like, Plastic Man turns into crap, you know what I mean? And I think you could have so much comedic moments with Plastic Man to where, because, like, he's turned into, what, like, a helicopter and a car, and he does so many, like, a spring. He is crazy. Like, he doesn't just stretch. Like, Plastic Man transforms. Like, that's very different. And I just think that, I actually kind of agree with that. But other, I'm trying to think of other mainstream characters. It's a little bit darker in my room. This is another random thing that happened today. Not like I mentioned anything else random, but, you know, tangent is what I meant. Today I was just, like, doing some work, and one of my light bulbs, I don't know if this has ever happened to anybody, one of my light bulbs went out. I'm sure that's happened, but it, like, started smoking, which was really weird. And I noticed after I took the light bulb out, because I automatically turned off the light, and I was like, yo, what the heck? And it's one of those spirally lights, the fluorescent ones or whatever, and I noticed that there was, like, bubbles, like, in the light bulb. And I was like, yo. And in hindsight, I probably should have left it in the socket for a little bit. But I automatically thought about taking it out because I'm like, oh, what if there's, like some sparks or something that's going to happen in there? I don't want that to happen. And so I automatically, like, got a handkerchief and took the bulb out. But I don't know how these lights work and all that kind of stuff. Like, I didn't know if that thing could have exploded in my hand. Like, now that I'm thinking about it, I just went and luckily threw it in the trash. But there was bubbles in the light bulb. And, like, and it literally smoke came out of the socket and around the light. And it made my room smell bad. I had to open a window. Crazy stuff. So the light was where all my, it was actually pointed at my comics. So it's a little bit darker now. But I was trying to look at anything else that could be, you know, could be mainstream. I do have Mr. Miracle sitting over there. I don't know, man. You know what? Booster Gold. I actually think, again, I think it relies very heavily on the comedic stuff. I think you can make a funny character very mainstream. I mean, we saw people fall in love with Deadpool. Like, Deadpool's always had an audience. But when that movie came out, Deadpool got so many more fans. Like, there was so many more Deadpool lovers than there was before. And just look at what happened with Deadpool. Like, Ryan Reynolds made Deadpool a household name. And a lot of people might argue that Deadpool was already a household name, but now he's solidified as, like, one of the best, you know what I mean? In the fans' eyes. And so I think you can go very far if you can make people laugh, right? Like, that's what everybody always says. Like, looks don't matter, but if you can make somebody laugh, it'll take you far. And so I think a character that is funny and charismatic like that could definitely be mainstream. But we'll have to see. We'll have to see. I also think somebody, if they would write her better in the comics, Punchline. I think Punchline can be really popular. Unfortunately, they're trying to make her too modern, if that makes sense. Like, oh, she has a podcast, and she's all about social media, and she's trolling online. Like, it's, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, dial her back, give her a better origin than she has, and actually make her Joker's sidekick. Instead of, you know, I think they, like, automatically made her Joker's sidekick, and they're like, oh, well, we don't want her to be a woman in Joker's shadow. And I was like, and they instantly got her away from Joker, it feels like. But her name's Punchline. Like, dude, she didn't even have like 6 months with the Joker, it feels like. So I think they could easily revamp Punchline and make her a better character. And I think she would be a household name. Because it would be nice to, like, Harley is essentially a good guy now. Like, honestly, anti-hero is always going to be her title. But I do feel like Harley, I would consider Harley in the Bat family. I know that's an argument some people would definitely fight against. But Batman has teamed up with her so much. I mean, is depending on what timeline you're going with, he's married to Selina. And that's, you know, Harley's one of Selina's best friends, whether she admits it or not. So I think Batman is like, all right, I can kind of, you know, tolerate Harley Quinn. And if you watch the animated series, he always had like a soft spot for Harley Quinn because he knew that she was being manipulated by the Joker. So I would consider her part of the Bat family. But I think Punchline could be amazing. But moving on, Jason Todd says, I just realized you had a new channel. Congrats. But I have some suggestions. Don't blow your load all at once. And 1 to 2 videos a month is good. Take full advantage of YT Shorts to talk random stuff. I've found so many channels that way. Jason Todd, well, first of all, thank you. Thank you to anybody for checking out the new channel. I did drop a video this week talking about leak culture. And because it fucking ruined the GTA release. If you guys want to know my opinions about the whole Grand Theft Auto release trailer and how it got leaked early, I highly suggest you go subscribe to the new channel, only if you're going to watch the videos. But if you want to watch those videos, I highly suggest you go over to the new channel, check them out, and check out that latest video if you want to hear my thoughts on leak culture. Because although we do talk, because there is somewhat of a relevance here, especially on the podcast, we talk about leaks all the time. But as you guys know, I am starting, you know, maybe this is just me. I'm a recovering reviewer, you know, man, like, I don't want to do it anymore. Which is, that's a lie, because I might do reviews here or there. It's not, the channel won't be reviews, but I might do, like, a review of Batman or something on that channel. I need to make it interesting for myself if I do that. But anyways, I don't like scoopers. You guys have heard me. Like, I'm very, like, anti-scooper now because I just want to enjoy stuff, man. I'm glad to talk about stuff. And this is what this podcast is for. And it's why I don't really make a lot of content on every bit of news that comes out nowadays, because I just kind of, I want to talk about it. It's fun to talk about it when Clay is actually here to bounce things off and then to chat with everybody in the chat right now, or in the comments, I should say, and just go back and forth with this kind of stuff because we're fans. It's nice to talk about the stuff we love, but if I could not know anything about the movies, enjoy the movies, and then talk about them afterwards like it used to be before everybody was a reviewer and a scooper and everything, that would be great. I think that would be awesome because I would be lying if I sitting here saying that I don't miss the days where, like, we watched the movie and you went to, like, school the next day and you're like, you know, you got your hands, your backpack in your hands. You're like, oh my God, bro, did you see that freaking, oh my God, who's the greatest? Like, dude, those days were the best. They were awesome. Me and Clay used to do that after we would watch, like, shows or whatever, and we would talk the next day at work. Like, we'd be like, oh, dude, that part, right? So, you know, I do kind of miss that stuff. But, yeah, I don't know. So, I kind of talk about the whole leak culture if you guys want to go check that out. But, yeah, to answer your question, though, Jason Todd, wasn't really a question, just to talk about the advice. There will be more YouTube shorts. And the videos, like, dude, if you go watch that GTA video that I put out, I did that in, like, 6 hours. So, I think there's going to be a mixture of both. My goal would be to drop one video a week, if possible. If not, at least a short or two a week, and then a video every other week or something like that. Because I am somebody that can put out a lot of content. I'm just really busy right now, especially with my job. We're gearing up, you know, the end of the year is really big for a lot of YouTubers. So that's why there's like a lot of content that comes out from probably some of your favorite people. And so yeah, it's just like really busy right now. And I probably picked the wrong time to launch a new channel, if I'm being honest. But I wanted to launch it because of, you know, the whole Squid Game stuff and all that jazz. So, but I appreciate the advice. There will be a lot of the content. And go subscribe to the new channel, ladies and gentlemen. Just go search Juice from the Box. And the icon will be my weird AI-generated face with some blue squiggly lines in the background. It's actually, if you want to find it, it's probably like, I mean, I think it should be pop up pretty quickly if you just search Juice from the Box. I should, you know what, I'll do it to just to make it easier for anybody that wants to follow. I will put it on the channel tab, well, there's not a channel tab anymore. You'll be able to get it on the YouTube channel, the Batman News Weekly YouTube channel for anybody that wants to go check it out. I will put it on a little tab area for you guys to check it out. It'll be right on the front page. So yeah, I appreciate the watching that anybody does though. Anyways, moving on. Getting back to Batman, Eduardo de la Cruz says, always get protection. When at a Batman-themed rave, or you may wake up with severe itchiness in your bat cave. Okay, Eduardo de la Cruz always comes in with some, I will say there was a little moment where I'm like, I don't know how these are going anymore. That one was clever. I like that one, Eduardo. I'll give you an A+ for that one. Not that it happened to me, I swear it was a friend. Anyways, who would win? I didn't read the whole thing, but that first part was fire. Anyways, we got Hush versus Heartless, Doomsday versus All for One, Atrocious versus Carnage. I don't know who that is. I don't know if that's anime reference or not. Let me look this up. Okay, so if I'm looking at this right, if it's the right character, because I think the spelling was a little off, it is the Red Lantern, which he's probably the most popular Red Lantern. Him versus Carnage? I mean, the Red Lantern is what? Rage or is it hatred? I always forget. I think it's rage, right? Him versus Carnage. The symbiotes, I don't know if anything's changed, but if I remember correctly, the symbiotes are technically from space, right? Like, so, oh man, so Carnage, dude, I will say I prefer Venom as a villain. I hate anti-hero Venom. I love villain Venom. Spider-Man needs to fight him, but, and Carnage, I always like Carnage too. But I'm going to go Carnage, to be honest. I can't say I know enough about the Red Lanterns to see what they would do, but I know Carnage didn't, like, a couple years ago, he had an event to where, like, it was, like, King Carnage or Ultimate Carnage or some crap like that. So I think Carnage is probably way more OP than I even know about, so I'm going to go Carnage there. Doomsday versus All for One. Now, that is a good matchup. Because if I think about it, do I think Superman can beat All for One? Maybe with all the stuff he's got. I mean, I think, because here's the thing. You would say, I think All Might is probably the Superman of My Hero Academia. But All Might is very flawed, as in he runs out of energy. Like he can lose stamina. And Superman really doesn't. So And we know Doomsday has killed Superman. So I know All for One has been winning a lot of these. And when Clay comes back, or maybe I know Clay has been listening to the podcast. So Clay, feel free to comment on this in the Discord or in the YouTube comments. I'm going to go Doomsday. Clay knows more. If I'm not mistaken, he's caught up on the manga. So he will, I think Clay should weigh in on that. So if you guys are not in the Discord, join the Discord. I'm gonna give it a Doomsday. I think Doomsday can take that. And Hush versus Heartless. Look, man, we don't know much about Heartless right now. We know Heartless has, you know, he took out freaking Blockbuster, but I mean, in reality, what has he really fucking done? And that's kind of at the fault of Tom Taylor right now. Hush is such a better character. Like Hush, his introduction was so fucking good, and how he was, like, you know, getting all these other villains to help outsmart Batman and cause Batman pain and all that kind of stuff. And then even if you read the future stories where he literally steals Catwoman's heart to get back at Batman and stuff like that, it's insane. So I think Hush, is, and look, he stole Catwoman's heart. He did Heartless's gimmick before Heartless. So, yeah, Hush 100%, 10 out of 10 times. You know, and I blame Tom Taylor for not making Heartless better, honestly. Cool character, but like everything else that's kind of going on in Nightwing, and granted, I'm an issue or two behind, Tom Taylor just hasn't really built up to the character enough for me to care, to be honest. Moving on to Alexis Barrera, who says, if you had the opportunity to be trained as a Robin under Batman, would you take it or nope the fuck out of that? Well, I guess the question is, like, what is my situation? Am I an orphan? You know, am I living in Gotham and I'm having to deal with that crap all day? And, you know, if I'm seeing what Batman was able to do and how those Robins live now, sure, you know? Maybe. I mean, I think it's one of those situations where, like, I would have to see what my living situation is. Like, what is my current life? But I'm assuming I'm going to be a child. And, yeah, just for the sake of living in Gotham, probably an orphan or something's going on. Or I'm not in the best situation if I would even consider training under Batman. Yeah, I'd probably do it. I'd probably do it. It would be insane, but, I mean, if you're being trained by the best in the world and can eventually be Batman one day, which means you're going to probably have a life of sadness, sure. You know what I mean? Well, we're probably, a majority of us are sad now anyways because of the state of the world, so why not be Batman in the process? Moving on to Clay, who says, what dumb casting would fans grow to like the most? Macaulay Culkin as Riddler, Dwayne Johnson as Bane, Jack Black as Penguin, Daniel Radcliffe as Scarecrow, Steve Buscemi as Joker. Steve Buscemi as Joker would be funny. I don't know. I mean, I'd have to see it. I think Joker can win a lot of people over if you just do it mildly well. But Steve Buscemi, that's a pretty funny shout there. I could see people liking it just because it's Joker. But dude, Daniel Radcliffe as Joker, I mean, as Scarecrow, is not a dumb casting. Am I wrong there? Like, I think that's a great casting. I would love to see Daniel Radcliffe as Scarecrow. I think that would be great. Jack Black as Penguin would love that. I would love that too. I think Jack Black would probably be the one that wins here. But I also can see a dark horse in Macaulay Culkin as the Riddler. I think people would be like, Home Alone is Riddler? He just got a star on the Walk of Fame, by the way. So I think people would like that. I think Jack Black probably wins because I don't know anybody that's ever talked bad about Jack Black, and I've been on the internet for a while, so it's kind of crazy. People just seem to love him, and he seems to be, like, a good dude. So, and he's worked with a lot of YouTubers. I mean, he is technically a YouTuber himself. What is he? Jablinski Games? So, yeah, I think Jack Black wins that, but honestly, also, I don't think people would hate Dwayne Johnson as Bane. The only thing that would suck is I think people would want, like, you know, representation with Latino Bane, like they want Bane to be a Latino. That would be my, I think, the only thing. Oh, then again, we might get freaking Dave Bautista as, you know what, actually, I don't know Batista's ethnicity, so I could totally be wrong there. I don't know. Because I can't say, I've been a wrestling fan for a long time, and Bautista, since that is his last name, I don't know the origin of that. I always thought it was just a wrestler name. And apparently that's his real name, so I actually don't know his ethnicity, so whatever. So I'm not going to sit here and say that he wouldn't be representation, because I'm assuming that's who he's going to be. We talked about this last podcast. But I don't think people necessarily would hate Dwayne Johnson, because here's the thing. As long as you don't show his face, if you have Dwayne Johnson just doing the muscle thing and fighting, I think people would be fine with that. But I'm going to go Jack Black. I think Jack Black wins that. Moving on to Tiny Beauty, who says, my son doesn't like your opinion sometimes and is like, how do they think it's whack? What should I tell him? He's 12. So I read this earlier today, and like, I have two answers for this. I have the instant answer, and then I have the truthful answer. The instant answer is, you're wrong, chokeslam through a table. because I've said it on the podcast before, I think some of the funniest things I see on TV is when adults fight kids. I don't know why. Just seeing, like, kids, like, get manhandled by adults in an entertainment way, I think is the funniest fucking shit. So that's why my brain always goes to, like, chokeslam through a table. But the real answer is, it's okay. It's okay to not like my opinions or what I say, because that's the world. And I think the moment we start, I mean, I think the earlier we start telling kids that, you know, you're not always going to agree with everybody, I think it would be easier for them to learn and maybe not be upset when they do run into people that have very strong opinions about things that they don't agree with. And it's just best to, like, hey, even though we don't agree here, it doesn't mean we can't be friends, that we can't get along. I think that's kind of what I would say. But I would also say, if you don't agree with my opinions, why don't you agree with it? I would always question why. Because I think that is a big thing a lot of people don't do nowadays, is I don't agree with a lot of people, but I do try to see it from their perspective to see why they don't like it or why they have an issue. It doesn't mean I'm going to be on that side. It doesn't mean I'm going to get won over because I'm thinking their way. I just try to understand where somebody's coming from. And if I'm like, okay, I can see that. I still don't agree with it, but I understand it. And there's going to be some people that are just completely just, you know, they just think what they think, even though a majority of society would be like, that's the wrong way to think. You know, it's just going to be how they are. And, you know, there's going to be people like that. I think everybody's going to come across that in their life. And, you know, I think it's good to tell kids at a younger age that, like, yeah, you're not always going to agree or like something people said. And I will say, when I was younger, I heard adults say things that I thought was dumb. And I'm like, why? I was like, that's dumb. Like, this is the coolest thing ever. And as I got older, I'm like, oh, now I know why they didn't like it. Or now I know why they think it's dumb. Because maybe this was their childhood or whatever. Because, you know, there are some people that are gonna, there are people growing up right now that are gonna think Robert Pattinson is the greatest Batman ever right now, right? Whereas, and they hadn't seen all the other previous Batman that we probably think are the best or whatever, you know, or like Clay was talking about, I think Clay was saying that Batman, the one that came out in 2014 or whatever, is the Batman he, or I think it's just called The Batman. I think he said that's his Batman, whereas I'm the animated series. I'm like, whoa, what? You know, and it's just, everybody's going to always be different. So I would say, just ask, like, well, why don't you like what he says? If you're talking to your kid. And, yeah, just as long as they have, I think, a valid reason for why they don't like it, I think it makes sense. Because I think the one thing a lot of people do nowadays, and this is adults, if you're listening to this, adults do this too nowadays. People just, if somebody doesn't like what they like, they think that person's dumb. And that's not how it should be. Life doesn't work that way. We can disagree. We don't all have to like the same stuff. But, you know, I think we can have a civil discussion about it. But yeah, that's kind of what I would say. Moving on to Drew, who says, in honor of the new DC event that I'm going to avoid, would you guys eat green chicharrones made from Beast Boy that was killed while he turned into a pig? P.S. I hate Chip Zdarsky. I'm going to assume, Drew, that comment, the P.S. part, is because of the latest Batman that I will be reviewing later on. Which, if that's the case, I agree with you. And, I mean, this is a very interesting question. Would we eat, I mean, chicharrones are good. So, I mean, I would. But that we know, if we know Beast Boy died as an animal that people eat, should we eat him? I think if Beast Boy, if that was his wishes, he's like, yo. And he wasn't doing it in, like, a fucking sexual way. He wasn't, like, talking to Raven or anybody else in the freaking, in the Titans and being like, yo, eat me. and he was talking about, like, if I die as an animal, eat me. Maybe? I don't know, man. Here's the thing. This is the weird thing. Beast Boy can talk. And I feel like if animals could talk, we would all feel very different about just eating them willy-nilly the way we do. We'd probably still eat some of them. Let's be real. But I think if animals could talk, I think if, like, tomorrow all the animals start talking, we're going to be like, yo. Because here's the thing. Because a lot of people are like, yeah, we would stop. I'd be like, no. Imagine if every animal could talk. You know all those birds outside your windows that are chirping and stuff? Things going to get real hectic if everybody starts talking. We could start going to some wars, you know, and be like, shut the fuck up, birds. Pay rent. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man. Because, like, I think you just bury Beast Boy. I don't know if I could eat him. That'd be kind of crazy. But also, kind of curious. But, yeah, I don't know. But chicharrones are delicious. Moving on to Nathan, who says, what Batman series sounds the most interesting? Bat family as mech suits and the villains as kaijus. Bruce never becomes Batman and instead goes full Matches Malone. Oh. This take is not sci-fi. All villains are fantastical. Batman, still mortal, uses magic items opposed to gadgets. I'm not a big fan of the magic stuff. Although it's funny, there's a magical story we're going to talk about today. So I'm not, I don't know, the fantastical stuff doesn't really excite me too much. And the Bat family as mech suits, I mean, it's basically, I feel like the Bat family would be, if you were to tell me the Bat family were Power Rangers, it would be more interesting. There was a mech suit series recently. I think the Justice League all had, like, a Superman mech and a Batman mech and a Wonder Woman mech. So that just happened, like, within the last year or two, if I'm not mistaken. So, I think, honestly, Bruce never becoming Batman instead goes full Matches Malone. Why is he Matches Malone? Like, is he actual Matches Malone? Is that his new persona? Or is Bruce trying to take down crime as Matches Malone? What's the story there? Either way, I think Bruce going full Matches Malone, I think, would be pretty crazy and awesome because he's done a lot as Matches Malone that a lot of people don't realize. So I think I would go with that. But I believe that is all the questions we got. So let's move on to comics. Okay, so the first book, we only have three books this week, by the way. I believe Birds of Prey might have come out this week. I completely forgot to check. But I think they fight Wonder Woman this week. So that was something that I don't even think we covered the last issue. But if you are interested in the Birds of Prey crazy story that's going on where they were going to go to Themyscira to get Black Widow's... is it Black Widow? I don't know why Black Widow... No, Black Canary. Sorry, it's late. To go get her sister back. That is going on, and I believe they do fight Wonder Woman in that issue, so you might want to go check that out. But this week, we do have the continuation of the Joker manga that's been going on. Again, we've said this every time that we've covered this. These are very short stories in this manga, and it's basically just Joker, you know, realizing the joys and troubles of being a father or a parent, I should say. And on this one, we get to see little Bruce going to daycare for the first time. And he does a bunch of art and stuff. And of course, you know, the teacher is very like, yeah, we did this in today. And Joker has to play up the like, oh, I got to pretend that I'm actually amazed by these stupid little drawings because I got to be a good dad. And he's all like, wow. And he's just putting on face. But then he's starting to think, he's like, oh, is that Bruce's handprint that is, you know, on top of this flower? He was like, that's actually really nice. And he starts making this master plan to where he's going to save every bit of Bruce's art that he makes as a child. And he's going to start hanging them on the wall. And then when he becomes Batman, he's going to use it as like his crescendo to destroy Batman, because he's gonna be like, these are all your memories, everything you did, and then he's gonna set him on fire in front of Batman so he'll just like lose his mind. And I thought that was pretty funny because that is something Joker would want to do. He would have this crazy grand scheme, and he literally has blueprints for like a museum of everything that Batman ever drew. And I think that's pretty cool. So it was just kind of like seeing Joker make this master plan like 20 years in advance, which is pretty funny. And that was basically it. And then he is kind of just like, oh man, I was working all night. And then he goes and checks on Bruce. And that's basically the story. Again, very quick reads with this stuff. But, you know, it is kind of one of those situations where parents probably do really, you know, enjoy when their kids do things. I know my parents still have some stuff I made from when I was a kid. So I think it's just one of those things when you're just like, wow, he made that. That's cool. So I thought that was pretty awesome. But moving on to the next thing was there is a Christmas story going on right now. Now, this was interesting because I didn't think that DC was actually going to make a full-blown Christmas story. This is Batman and Santa Claus, Silent Night. And I think this is actually really cool. I'm surprised DC doesn't do more of this. They usually do those like Toxic Winter or whatever, where it's a bunch of stories set around the holidays, but it's kind of like an anthology book, and that's it. You get one book, you pay a little bit extra, and it's like maybe like 60 pages or something like that, of a bunch of different stories that happen around the holidays. And yeah, that's kind of what usually happens. And but this one is actually a full-blown story. It's going to be 4 issues. I think one's going to come out every week of December, and it is Batman and Santa Claus. And so basically what happens is there is these Christmas carolers that all get killed. And they're killed by a bunch of bats or like bat humanoid type people. And of course, like Batman and Robin show up to kind of see what's going on. They notice that there's a single like laceration on the necks of these people. And they're like, oh, it can't be like Langstrom, because Langstrom does, this isn't his MO. And Zatanna shows up looking awesome as ever. She shows up and she's talking about, she's able to do that. I forget. She talks about the saying of how, like, you know, the imprint of the last thing somebody saw is like, it's on their eyelid or whatever, or their eyeball. Obviously, no, it's not true. But with her magic, she's able to do that. And so she shows the last thing these people saw, and that's when we find out it is a bat. And one shows up to kind of try to, you know, attack Batman, fights it off, obviously. They try to kidnap Robin. He ends up saving Robin, and then a stake goes through the heart of one of these bats. And it's freaking Santa Claus with a crossbow riding a reindeer. And everybody's like, yo, what the fuck? And, you know, we get to see Batgirl and Robin, Batgirl and Nightwing, they're fighting a lot of these bats. They show up, you know, freaking Santa shows up to save them. And, it's just kind of like big, just introduction, really. And we find out that Santa Claus is actually kind of like Thor, essentially. He's like a, like, kind of like a Norse god kind of version of Santa Claus. And, he was just always like hunting, monsters or whatever. And they were like, you know, I think it's like Batgirl. She's like, aren't you going to be busy in the next few days or whatever? And he's like, oh, he's like, I don't really have to worry about any of that. He's like, that's kind of like everybody else does that. I just go around hunting these kind of creatures. And like, they've never come this far into Gotham before. Like he said, they usually stay like in Europe or whatever. And so it's just funny to see this Thor type character that is Santa Claus. And, like, Batman is nonchalant, and he's like, yeah, I met freaking Santa Claus when I was doing my training when I was younger. And so, you know, Damian's like, what the fuck? He was like, you know Santa Claus? And it's just really funny. And so what ends up happening is one of the bats starts, like, sprouting, like, these leaves. So it kind of looks like poison ivy here. And, you think it's poison because it's, like, these magical, like, plants or whatever. And somebody starts talking through the bat. And this plant shoots all of this, like, slime on top of Zatanna. And she's, like, she's basically, like, trapped in this slime. And they're trying to save her life. And this, you know, Santa Claus is like, speak, who is this? And he's like, oh, you trapped me a long time ago. And now I'm coming back for revenge. And it is this creature that was actually working with Santa Claus back in the day, I believe. But he got trapped away. And Yeah, so like that's kind of where we'll find out more about this creature in the future. But it does seem like it's somebody that has ties to Santa Claus. And I'm just kind of curious on where this is going to go. But yeah, Batman, Santa Claus, Silent Night, of course, right? Like, why wouldn't you do that? I am going to be straight with you guys. I have wrote a Batman Christmas story kind of with a Santa Claus twist as well. So I think it's, when I saw this, I was like, oh, damn. But this is very different than I was not thinking about Santa Claus being a Norse god and all this kind of stuff. But I do love the idea of Batman and just like Christmas. I don't know why. I think you can do some really cool stuff with it. But yeah, I saw this and I was just like, oh, okay, this should be interesting. So yeah, if you guys want to read Batman Santa Claus Silent Night, go check that out because it is issue 1 of 4. So we'll be continuing this story most likely every week. So I would think they're all going to come out in December. But moving on to, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, Batman 140. And there's so much I could say about this book, but, you know, oh man, like, so if we remember at the end, first of all, I just want to jump around. I freaking semi-called it. That's all I'm going to say. I semi-called it. I didn't get the full call here like I did with Catwoman. I feel like I nailed that on the head. I got half these calls here as we go along through this. So anyways, we know that Batman is fighting Joker, right? Or Zurin Ra has taken over Batman's mind, and he is going to finally end Joker. So Joker is fighting Zurin Ra, and we're assuming that they fought before. Now, they haven't blatantly said it. But I'm assuming, because obviously if you have Batman knowledge, you'll know that Zurin Ra technically fought Joker before in Batman RIP. That was by Grant Morrison. So when Joker says, like, ah, oh, I've been waiting for you, Brucey, or whatever, I've been waiting for this Batman, I'm assuming, because they don't blatantly say it at all. I might have already said that. It's getting late as I'm recording this. I'm assuming that's how Joker knows that Zurin Ra exists, because he's met him before. Because the way I read Zdarsky's stuff, since he's, like, so obsessed with Grant Morrison, I'm thinking anything Grant Morrison did in any of his Batman run, Chip Zdarsky considers canon. So I'm thinking everything that happened in RIP is what Joker is pulling from here. And then anyways, so Batman starts chasing Joker, and then we go into the mind realm, or Batman's mind, and find out why there are so many damn Zurin Ra's in Batman's brain. And it's kind of stupid, in my opinion. Look, I know a lot of people like hate on Batman because they're like, he's too OP. It's ridiculous. Like, he can just do everything. Like, it's just so dumb. And I get it. I understand the hate for Batman at times because he does a lot of ridiculous shit. But it's comics, so it's just like, it is what it is. But even I have a line when it comes to Batman, and this might be crossing the line. I mean, I think Zdarsky has done a lot of that with Batman, but according to Zdarsky's writing in Batman 140, because Batman jumped multiverses and he talked to a whole bunch of other Batmen, his mind is basically linked to all of the other Batmen. So that's why Zurin Ra is, all of these Zurin Ra's are in Batman's mind, because he interacted with other Batmans and now they're all linked. So they're able to amplify Zurin Ra to take over Bruce, essentially, because there's so many of them. And I just thought that was kind of dumb. I was just like, okay, so just because he's went through the multiverses, he's connected all of his minds or whatever. Because you gotta think about how that works long term. So can he just like think about it and be like, all right, we're connected in our mind. Batman from Earth, you know, 322, show me your Catwoman's boobs. Like, you know what I mean? Although that would be a cool power. Like, It's just dumb. Shouldn't happen. Batmans from different universes should not connect in any way, in my opinion. So this is kind of dumb. I think it's, again, it's just a way to show all of these different types of Batman throughout history in their Zurin Ra costumes. I should mention, Batman is fighting Joker this whole time. He's chasing him. He's beating the shit out of him at one point. And his older Catwoman friend that we found out, if you read that other Zdarsky book, I forget what it's called, The Night's Watch or whatever the hell, I don't know what it was. She shows up and she's like, Bruce, stop, because like Joker shocks him and gets away, and she's trying to tell him like, what's going on? Like, what are you? The darkness in you. I always knew it was there, but it's like gotten worse and you've become this. And she's like, you don't need to do this. And he's like, I'm better, I'm stronger, yada, yada. They're talking in French, by the way. And she's like trying to like, caress his face and be like, this isn't you, like you should come back and yada, yada. And then he kind of breaks out of it for a little bit. And he's like talking to her and he's like, oh, my mind, I'm losing it. And I don't know. Because like, I guess he's able to go in and out of this because Bruce starts fighting all the Zurin Ra's. Like, essentially, he's like, it's in his mind, so he should be able to do whatever he wants, right? And so all the Zurin Ra's are like, all right, we're gonna fight you. And so that's kind of what happens through a lot of this comic. And I want to make sure I don't skip something, because there was some dumb shit happening in this book. He was talking about his mentors. Let's see. Bruce, you had a darkness in you even back then, but not like this. You're a thief, Lucia. I took what I needed from you at the time, but I don't take advice from criminals. So that's Zurin Ra talking here. And Bruce, that's when Bruce kind of comes back to his mind. He's talking to her, and she's, he's like, I can't hold it any longer, being dragged back into my mind, back into the fight. So he was trying to, like, right there, that was him kind of winning a little bit. Zurin Ra's back, and he's like, I need you to go. And then he goes back, starts chasing after Joker again. And the Zurin Ra's that are fighting Batman are like, you can help us, you can join us. Like, we'll go through all, because their plan is to kill Joker here, and then go through every universe and kill every Joker throughout all of the multiverses, so there's no more Joker. That is their end game here. Again, this whole story is so stupid because Zdarsky himself had already Batman fix this problem. He had him fix it in the back of that backup, and he's never explained why this Zurin Ra is back or why Zurin Ra has taken over. Like, he's never explained it. So I think that's a big mishap here. And, what happens here? I need to remember. Okay, so, since it's in his mind, right? There's this one part where Batman, he's gotten beaten up by a lot of the Zers, and then he's like, there's nowhere to escape, nowhere to hide, but this is my mind, and Lucia is right. When there's no other way out, I create my own way. And Batman makes those like infinite stairs, like that classic painting. I forget the artist, but essentially he starts running through his mind to outsmart these other Batmen. Here's the problem though. They're all him. And I know Zurin Ra's a different personality apparently to Batman, but he's still Batman. He knows everything about Batman. He can reach into Batman's mind. And even like the animated cartoons have done this when I forget what it is. I think it's Justice League. I don't know if it's a movie or not. When is it the Injustice League where Batman is like arrested by the other world's Batman? And Flash is like, all right, how are we going to get out of this, Bruce? And he's all like, we're not. He's me. He knows everything I would do. There's no way I can outsmart him. And so that's when the Flash, like, speeds up his heart so fast, or he slows his heart down so much that he flatlines. And that's how Batman goes to check on him, and he lets him loose, and then he, like, puts him in the shackles, and he lets Bruce out, like, his friend Bruce, and he's like, man, he was like, I had to do something. If you weren't going to do something, Batman. And Batman's like, yeah, well, I could have never thought about you. Like, I could never plan for you. And so, like, you know, he says something kind of along those lines. So, you know, Batman should know everything Batman's going to do, right? And remember, this is in his mind. So I just find it so weird that it's just one of those ridiculous Batman, OP Batman things where Batman can outsmart all of his, like, infinite multiverse of his own mind. He can I don't know. It's just so, like, convoluted that it gets, like, ridiculous when you really think about it. But, of course, it's comics. You're just supposed to think, like, oh, main Batman can beat all the Batmans. It just doesn't make sense to me because he's connected to all the Batman's minds and all the Zurin Ra's. The Zurin Ra's are so strong that they can overtake Batman's mind, but he can beat them. I don't know. It's whatever. It is what it is. And so, anyways, we're seeing Batman start fighting all of these different Zurs, right? And he's like, no telling what Zur is doing while I'm here. Because Batman, since he's stuck in his own mind, he doesn't know what Zurin Ra is doing on the outside. He's beating the shit out of Joker is what he's doing. And so Batman is trying to fight all of the different Batman. There is one moment in here, which I do find kind of crazy, because it's showing Batman kind of like sneaking up on all the other Zurin Ra's. There is one moment where he's holding two butcher knives and there's two Batman there. There's two Zurin Ra Batman there. Am I supposed to think, I mean, well, I think he mentions this in the book, to be fair. Like, since they're not real, he can do whatever he wants. So I'm pretty sure Batman's killing these Zurin Ra's in his own mind. So just an FYI. He also does kick one of the Batman in the back of the neck. Could maybe break his neck. Then he fights the Adam West Zurin Ra. And of course, Adam West has the classic Batman shield. But Batman, because it's his mind, he's like, I gotta think really hard. And the things he threw at Adam West's Batman, they explode because, you know, he's going full Space Jam here, by the way. His arm is stretching across half court so he can dunk the ball. So he had anti-bat shield razors. That's what he did to explode Adam West's stuff. Then he fights the Burton Batman. And this was the moment that was pretty fucking stupid. So, Burton's had some acid capsules. And he is like, more toys where that came from. And he's like, and Batman, as he's like losing to this guy, he's like, I have an advantage though. I can turn my head. I mean, dude, Zdarsky is so cheesy. And like, and here's the thing, I have to call myself out on this too, because, and maybe this is what Tiny's kid was talking about. And maybe Tiny's kid will understand this later on, but like, it's just, I don't know, man. Like, I think some people love this. I think a lot of people will probably love this because they get the reference. They understand it. It's supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be haha. And I get it. That's just not what I prefer from Batman. You know what I mean? I don't think Batman, like, animated series can get away with it. This Batman, I just don't really get that vibe. It's not written too well. It's not like dry humor. It's just kind of lame, in my opinion. And I don't know, maybe other people like read this and they loved it and they thought it was great. But here's the thing, though. The you can't turn your head thing is an IRL thing. In real life, we know that Batman cannot turn his head because the suit was so poorly designed. The latex would not let him do it. You go back, watch those old movies, Keaton has to turn his whole body. The thing is, this is a comic book, and real world things, even if they're taking from those fictional worlds that were created, those things shouldn't apply to Batman, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Like, that was a real life problem, but it's not like that Batman, like, talked about it. You know what I mean? I know Nolan's version makes fun of it, or like in The Dark Knight Returns or The Dark Knight, he's like, I want to be able to turn my neck because that, you know, in Batman Begins, also the same problem. But yeah, I don't know. I just, I thought that was kind of lame when I saw it. And then, you know, Batman continues to keep fighting a bunch of his stuff. He starts fighting like the vampire Batman. And I think this might piss a lot of people off, especially Bendis, because Batman's fighting the vampire Batman or the demon Batman, or I don't know exactly what they call him. But Batman's like, I remember my father, and he's reaching for a Bible here, was a good Christian man. If I'm not mistaken, it's funny because Tom King had a very well-written comic about Batman questioning his religious beliefs. And a lot of people were like, Batman's atheist, Batman's atheist. And I even made a video about this on my old channel. And that's not really what came across. It was just Batman questioning things, not necessarily saying he was an atheist or not an atheist or whatever. Because it doesn't make, logically, it doesn't make sense for Batman to be an atheist when he's fought gods. Like, he's literally met gods, and atheists don't believe in that. So, like, Batman can't be an atheist because logically, he would be denying the truth, and that's not what Batman does. So, yeah, so that was, like, a whole stupid thing. But he gets this holy Bible, and he holds it up to this demon Batman, and he's like, you know, he's all freaking out or whatever. And while this is all going on, by the way, Batman is seemingly breaking Joker's back, is what it looks like, because there's this big, like, basically, like Bane did to Batman. Like, he's doing the whole breaking the back thing. And so, yeah, Batman beats another Batman with the holy Bible, and then he goes and he fights The Dark Knight Returns Batman, and they're just going blow for blow fighting each other, and this Batman's saying, like, oh, I know all your tricks and all that jazz, and, you know, Joker at this point, like, is kind of dying, he's, like, in pain or whatever, and then our Batman beats the Dark Knight Batman and saying that he is more than Batman, which is why the Zurn Ra's will never beat him, because he's Bruce Wayne, and, like, that was the main thing. Zur doesn't believe, he thinks Bruce Wayne is, like, part of the problem. Like, if there was no Bruce Wayne, Batman would be better. And Bruce, obviously, or Batman, you know, the one we've been rooting for, knows that Bruce Wayne makes him better. So, you know, at this point, like, you see, there's a panel where there's this light shining down, and Bruce is like, Zur? And he's like, the hold on me is gone. I'm resurfacing. And when he resurfaces, he's like, I'm alive. I'm hurting, but I'm alive. Need to get Zur out of me. End this once and for all. Where am I? And he's like, so much blood. Mine or Joker's? And then this is where I half called it, ladies and gentlemen. Because we hear somebody talking with the Zur kind of vibes, but slightly different. And it's like, it wasn't supposed to be the plan for a long time, Bruce. We were only supposed to activate the Terminus Project once our body was weak, unable to go on. He was like, but I needed somewhere to go, didn't I? And he was like, somewhere for the new Batman to call home. So, I'm pretty sure I said this on the podcast a long time ago, ladies and gentlemen. I said that Zur and Ra was going to get out of Batman's mind somehow and was going to end up fighting Batman in real life. And I thought, you know, it's comics. You know, Zur and Ra probably had, like, a clone Bruce Wayne body, and he was going to be, you know, manifested into that, or something was going to happen. Like, I thought there was going to be some shenanigans like that. I mean, we've already traveled to different multi-universes and all that jazz. You know, it could have been something like that. Zur and Ra took over one of the other Batman's minds, so that Batman comes through this universe. Like, that's what I was thinking. I think Zur and Ra was going to have his own physical body and was going to fight Batman. But And I'm actually kind of shocked I didn't think about this. Zurin Ra, the way I read this book, Zurin Ra's mind is now in failsafe. Remember how failsafe just flew away and we didn't know where he went and what he was up to? Well, he is now Zurin Ra. And he's got purple shining light, which is kind of crazy because the last time we saw Failsafe, he had the red light, but then he got shot with whatever Batman put in him. Then he turned into blue light, and now, I guess since Zur's in him, his light's purple? I don't really know. But like I said, partially called it, but yeah, so now we have a robo-Batman, and Zurin Ra is now in a mechanical body. Batman has been unconscious for a while. We should assume that Joker's dead. Logically, you would think that, right? Because Zur's whole premise, whole thing that he wanted to do was kill Joker. And now that he has a physical body, Joker should be dead. But didn't Batman reprogram Failsafe? So maybe he's not dead. Maybe Failsafe is going to be fighting himself. I don't really know what to expect here. But yeah, Zdarsky has given Zur a metal RoboCop body. So we will be seeing that. And we are also going to get Joker Year One. Don't forget about that. Could it be, since, we're going to get three Jokers or whatever. And don't forget, when Zdarsky started this book, he had that panel of the three Jokers because Batman was having nightmares or whatever. It is very possible that that was foreshadowing what was going to happen. There could be Jokers from other universes that are going to show up. There could be just the three Jokers in general that's going on in the stories right now. But we know we're going to get Joker Year One. Is it possible that Zurin Ra killed a Joker and so now we're going to get a new Joker that is Year One? Don't forget that there was that Joker that created all the Jokers. Remember that stupid shit? That was like the Red Flash or whatever the hell he called himself. What happened to him? Did he just get left in that pocket universe? I don't think he did. I think he got sent back to his area. Could he be Joker? You know what I mean? Is he going to be the Year One Joker? Like, I don't know what's going to happen here. But I actually would be shocked. And then again, I don't know. I feel like they let Zdarsky do whatever he wants. If they let Zdarsky kill the Joker we've all known forever to create a new one, that would be wild to me. I don't think that's going to happen. Something's going to, Zurin Ra killed the fake Joker or some shit like that. And the other real Joker's been laughing this whole time far away. Because don't forget, if you're reading Detective, there's a Joker there too. Although that feels like that story is way off from whatever's happening here. But again, these Batman stories that are supposed to all be happening at the same time all feel like they are from different eras, which is crazy. But that is it, ladies and gentlemen. Zdarsky doing Zdarsky things. That's all I can really say. Like, I don't know, man. Batman is now connected. His mind is able to connect to every Batman in the multiverse. Why would he ever need a computer? You know what I mean? If he can just think hard enough that he can go into his mind's eye or whatever and connect to all the Batman. Like, again, I don't think that's like, you're not supposed to read it that way, but that's how you think about it. Like, I think a lot of people assume a lot of comic book readers just read the book and it's done. No, bro, we love this stuff. So we're going to sit there and think about it. Like, how did Batman actually do that? And like, yada, yada, yada. You know what I mean? At least that's how I do it. I don't, if you just read the books and don't ever think about it, let me know. But I feel like a lot of you listeners, if you're willing to listen to a podcast about Batman, you probably think about Batman quite often. You know what I mean? You probably think about this kind of stuff. So, I don't know. Let me know what you thought about Batman 140. Dude, I really hope 150 is the jumping off point for Zdarsky and we get some new blood in here. And same thing with Teeny Howard. I think we need new people on Batman and Catwoman already. I don't mind it staying a monthly because, again, that lets me have a lot more years to try to get into the comic book world. But for the most part, I do think that we need some new blood on Batman and Catwoman because I don't know what's going on in these books anymore, man. Yeah, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I don't know when Clay will be back, but Clay, if you listen to this, let us know your thoughts in the Discord or whatever. But that is going to be it, ladies and gentlemen. Again, if you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, go subscribe to the YouTube channel. We're trying to get to 500 subscribers. Also, check out my new channel if you guys want some more content outside of the realm that is Batman. Again, I will be posting or putting the channel link or the channel icon on the front page of the Batman News Weekly, if you guys, YouTube channel, if you guys want to go check out my new channel. But that's it, ladies and gentlemen. As always, I'm your host, Juice Wayne, and remember, Batman is awesome.